Gennaro passed through the iron gates and went in the front door of the safari lodge. He saw Ellie Sattler coming down the hallway carrying towels and a pan of steaming water.
"There's a kitchen at the other end," she said. "We're using that to boil water for the dressings."
"How is he?" Gennaro asked.
"Surprisingly good," she said.
Gennaro followed Ellie down to Malcolm's room and was startled to hear the sound of laughter. The mathematician lay on his back in the bed with Harding adjusting an IV line.
"So the other man says, 'I'll tell you frankly, I didn't like it, Bill. I went back to toilet paper.'"
Harding was laughing.
"It's not bad, is it?"
Malcolm said, smiling.
"Ah, Mr. Gennaro, you've come to see me. Now you know what happens from trying to get a leg up on the situation."
Gennaro came in tentatively. Harding said, "He's on fairly high doses of morphine."
"Not high enough, I can tell you," Malcolm said. "Christ, he's stingy with his drugs. Did they find the others yet?"
"No, not yet," Gennaro said, "but I'm glad to see you doing so well."
"How else should I be doing?" Malcolm said, "with a compound fracture of the leg that is likely septic and beginning to smell rather, pungent. But I always say if you can't keep a sense of humor..."
Gennaro smiled.
"Do you remember what happened?" "Of course I remember," Malcolm said. "Do you think you could be bitten by a Tyrannosaurus Rex and it would escape your mind?" "No, indeed, I'll tell you, you remember it for the rest of your life. In my case, perhaps not a terribly long time, but still, yes, I remember."
Malcolm described running from the Land Cruiser in the rain and being chased down by the Rex.
"It was my own damn fault. He was too close, but I was panicked. In any case, he picked me up in his jaws."
"How?" Gennaro said.
"Torso,"
Malcolm said and lifted his shirt. A broad semicircle of bruised punctures ran from his shoulder to his navel.
"Lifted me up in his jaws, shook me bloody hard, and threw me down. And I was fine. Terrified, of course, but still and all fine. Right up to the moment he threw me. I broke the leg in the fall. But the bite was not half bad," he sighed, "considering."
Harding said, "Most of the big carnivores don't have strong jaws. The real power is in the neck musculature. The jaws just hold on while they use the neck to twist and rip. But with a small creature like Dr. Malcolm, the animal would just shake him and then toss him."
"I'm afraid that's right," Malcolm said. "I doubt I'd have survived except the big chap's heart wasn't in it. To tell the truth, he struck me as a rather clumsy attacker, if anything less than an automobile or a small apartment building."
"You think he attacked half-heartedly?"
"It pains me to say it," Malcolm said, "but I don't honestly feel I had his full attention. He had mine, of course, but then he weighs 8 tons. I don't."
Gennaro turned to Harding and said, "They're going to repair the fences now. Arnold says Muldoon will need your help herding animals."
"Okay," Harding said. "So long as you leave me Dr. Sattler and ample morphine," Malcolm said, "and so long as we do not have a Malcolm effect here."
"What's a Malcolm effect?" Gennaro said.
"Modesty forbids me," Malcolm said, "from telling you the details of a phenomenon named after me."
He sighed again and closed his eyes. In a moment, he was sleeping. Ellie walked out into the hallway with Gennaro.
"Don't be fooled," she said. "It's a great strain on him. When will you have a helicopter here?"
"A helicopter?
He needs surgery on that leg. Make sure they send for a helicopter and get him off this island."